This is the Cubs related podcast. Tonight is April 16th and a very significant night indeed. This is, I think, the very first Cubs freakout of the season. And Corey and I speculated, when would this actually happen coming off a World Series championship year? Corey, I think we have our answer.
Brennan, I'm fired up tonight, man. We got people on the ledge, and they are downloading this episode either for us to push them off or drag them back in. And I don't know about you, Brennan, but I am ready, you know, ladies and gentlemen of Cubland, and we're going to extend our arm. We're going to pull you back. We're going to pull you back like we did, I think, you know, in that June, July,
yes,
terrible stretch last year. Go back and listen. We were on that. Okay.
Yes.
I'm ready. We're here for you. It's going to be okay. And we're going to get through this.
I've been boiling up for the past 7 hours, just seeing some of the tweets, especially some mentions I've had. I cannot believe this. And I'm not going to read off this tweet verbatim, but I had one person tweet at me saying how fans are desperately looking back to last year to try to project the future of this team. Are you kidding me? It's April 16th. This team is 6-6. Like, everyone's healthy. For the most part, I mean, the timely hits haven't been there, but they're playing all right. Like, are you surprised it happened this soon? Like, I'm actually sitting here reading some of this stuff. You're not surprised? Oh, my God. I cannot believe it's April 16th and we're going at this.
I mean, I'm not surprised in the sense that, you know, as soon as they lose the first two, it becomes clear that not only are they facing an opportunity to get swept by the Pittsburgh Pirates, but they're also, you know, that would send them to 500. So it just felt like the perfect storm for the kind of nonsense that we've been seeing. But I do want to preface, going back to last year and looking at things, or, you know, saying it's only April, this, that, or the other. None of that is to undermine that the Cubs did some garbage stuff on that baseball field today.
Yes.
And it's not excusable. It's not brushed under the rug. Trust me, the text between Brendan and I, or the running threads we have on Facebook or whatever, they are filled with complaints, yelling,
expletives,
all sorts of things. I know you guys don't get the expletives. Maybe one day when we, you know, if we start making some more money, we can switch this, because I'm telling you, I'm probably better on the adult version. But
yeah,
so none of this is to excuse any of that. Like the play today where Rizzo comes home and Contreras' foot comes off the bag and they score a run cannot happen. They know this. You know this. I know this. Everybody listening knows this. That it's not a play that is acceptable in Major League Baseball, and certainly not with teams that just did and are trying to win another championship. So none of this conversation is to excuse any of that or defer any blame or act like these guys can screw around and it's, you know, it's of no consequence, because it is. But look, what is it today? April 16th.
Yes.
They literally have 150 games. I just can't entertain any of this. You know what I mean? And we can get into the specific things, and we can definitely look at this stuff as, you know, especially how it's going to shake out through the rest of the year. But I think to be freaking out now, you know, and like you alluded to, some of the stuff that I'm reading on Twitter, calling for every other person in the bullpen's head, saying they're the worst reliever ever. I mean, I saw things the other day after the game on Saturday that Strope is one of the worst relievers in the league. He's like the equivalent of a Cincinnati Reds reliever. And it's like, this is ridiculous, you know? And again, I'm not trying to, make excuses for people, but 99% of the time that ball that McCutchen hit is not a home run. He hit that ball 99 miles an hour at like a 33-degree launch angle. That's not a home run, fam.
Yeah.
Okay? So, again, it goes for a home run. I'm not an idiot, right? I was there. Like, it ruined my day. So, you know, you don't have to tell me. A home run is a home run. But I'm just saying, you know, like, we gotta chill out on this stuff. So, and you know, and again, like, and you even had to tell me to calm down on Friday,
that usually never happens. Usually it's the other way around. Like,
yeah, that's a good juxtaposition of our relationship. Yes. But, you know, because I was not thrilled that Brian Dunsing was allowed to, you know, in my view, kind of ruin that game.
Yeah.
You know, and you had to remind me that Joe is still feeling these guys out. He hasn't had Dunsing for a while. When Carl Edwards comes back from the bereavement list, and side note, I don't recall reading what he is on the bereavement list for.
I don't think anyone knows.
But, you know, thoughts and well wishes to Carl Edwards and his family or whatever's going on there. But when he comes back, you know, they either have to, you know, get rid of Dunsing or look to, again, the Stella, I was going to say Stella Le Caesar, La Stella Caesar, you know, situation. They'll have to look at that again. Ian Happ hit another home run today. So,
and
you had to remind me, you know, that it's early in the year. We're kind of feeling these guys out, seeing what we have so that we can kind of move forward and see the roles. So, in summary, for that early podcast rant, there might be a few of them. Like, I don't know how hot we're going to get here today, but, there's 150 games left. Mm-hmm. They have done some bad things over the last couple days, but coming into this series, I thought they were playing pretty decent baseball. I still think that.
It was three days ago that we recorded a podcast saying how we could not be more happy about the way they played.
Yeah, for sure.
Three days ago.
Nothing like a sweep to, you know, kind of turn that around. But I still generally feel that way. I mean, I think, you know, there's just some little things that, you know, are costing them games. And it's no fun. And again, I'm not, you know, going to sit here and make excuses for those things. And we'll get into some of those things, I would imagine.
Yes.
But just with 150 games left, this team is too good. This team is too good. They don't play in a particularly good division. And I think I said this when they lost the game, you know, that first game in St. Louis. I don't think that this team needs an attitude adjustment or a reminder or a kick in the butt or whatever. But if they did, they just got it. So, you know, sometimes that's not the worst thing in the world. Like, even if they don't need it, just a little reminder, like, hey, you know,
yeah,
the Pirates take, like, watch Josh Harrison when he plays at Wrigley Field. They take a great amount of pride in shutting us all up and not listening to go Cubs go at the end of the day. And they're going to play good teams. They're going to have a target on their back the whole year. And this weekend was a reminder that if they're not, you know, up to the task, and today they definitely were not. I mean, just that seventh inning or eighth inning,
brutal. Eighth
was total garbage, like amateur hour. You know, like, you're not, like, I'm not going to sugarcoat that at all. Like, that was an absolute mess.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's 150 games left, guys. You know, come on.
Now, what would qualify as a freakout? Like, what is a justifiable freakout? Like, if someone was, you know, on Twitter and they were, you know, complaining about something, what would be justifiable at this point of year? For me, it would be like Chris Bryant falling off a plane or like Anthony Rizzo losing a foot. Like, those are justifiable complaints on April 16th, right? Like,
I think you can boil it down to specific issues that you might have. Like, you know, I think if you wanted to point to various players and roles, like, we can have a discussion about that because the season is a fluid thing. But writing off the season as a whole, or, you know, wanting to make full scale changes to the roster after 12 games just is not the pragmatic way to go about this. And I think I said this a number of times last year, but sometimes I do get generally surprised. And I don't tell anybody how to be a fan, but baseball is a long, long journey. And sometimes you just get the impression that people are maybe new to this or something like that, because, man, if you were that fired up, there's 150 games left. I mean, they've only played 12, you know. Like, and I don't say that to be demeaning in any way. I just genuinely don't know how some people will survive these next, like, five, or if they make the playoffs, it's like 8 months. You know what I mean? Like, this is not a short thing.
Remember how inconsequential April games seemed when the Cubs were down 3-1 in the World Series? Do you remember that? Like,
Did they win that World Series?
The Chicago Cubs won the World Series, yes.
Brendan, yes. Will you stop living in the past? I mean, my God. I know.
But Corey, I'm just going through my Twitter timeline right now, and within the last, this is fantastic, within the last 8 hours, I had someone suggest that Zobrist should be benched for a few days or removed from the cleanup spot. I've had someone suggest that Schwarber is not the ideal fit for leadoff. I had someone suggest that Ian Happ should be called up immediately. And I've had someone suggest that, like you just said, I should not look to the past for any relevance in the future. This is all within the last 7-8 hours.
Right.
So let me counter that. Are you guys ready for some nice counterpoints to get you going?
I feel like we need a mini theme song for this. Brendan's counterpoints.
But I am, like, for the most part, I'm pretty thrilled by how everyone has started their year. I mean, Javi is not off to the best start, but let me read you some points. It just makes me extremely happy. Schwarber is walking almost at a 20% rate. His outside the zone swing rate is down from 9%, which is in the top tier of Major League Baseball. His contact rate is up almost 8% from his rookie year. So Schwarber is seeing more pitches, he's laying off bad pitches, and he's making more contact with the pitches that are hittable. That's fantastic. Chris Bryant walking above a 15% rate. He just hit 2 homers yesterday. In addition, his contact rate is up 4% from last year. So even the MVP is so far making really good adjustments. Rizzo still doing his thing, still has an 84% contact rate, well above league average. And my favorite, Addison Russell's outside the zone swing rate is better than Schwarber, who is the leadoff hitter. I know Russell isn't walking that much, but he has an outside the zone swing rate better than a player on this team who is walking at almost a 20% rate. That will go up. And Russell's contact rate, above 80%. That's 3 percentage points better than the league average. That's almost 10% better than last year. And he's hitting the ball harder. Like, those are three core players on this team that are vital to their success, having, for what I see, better starts to the year than last year. And everyone's healthy. The pitching staff, for the most part, has looked really good, even though Arrieta's velocity has been down. His command, I mean, Corey, you and I have talked about this. His command looks so much better. Like, I'll take the 2-mile-per-hour drop in velocity he's going to hit outside zones like that. Lester today averaged 92.5 miles per hour with his fastball. Velocity concerns gone. Brett Anderson has looked great. The bullpen, Wade Davis, has looked great. Like, when we take a step back, and I'm reading my timeline, and the biggest concern that I have is Ian Happ hitting too many homers in Iowa. Man, what a time to be a Cubs fan, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure you would know that looking online, but yeah, I just think, you know, and again, like, there's little semantic things that we can get into, you know, about how much playing time people should be getting. And I think things like Schwarber in the leadoff hole, Zobrist in the four hole, like, I don't think there much has warranted changing that now, but I certainly think those are fair topics for discussion as the season moves along.
Right. But not right now, not to change right now, like, based on 12 games, you know?
And look, I mean, I think if you're going to worry about Ben Zobrist, of all people, good luck to you, because that man puts up the same slash line every year. And I mean, granted, obviously he's getting older, but if you're going to worry about him, of all people, good luck.
He has two homers already. He has two homers already. He almost hit one, what was it, yesterday or the day before? I mean, come on. Like, he's the least of my concerns. But overall, like, and just to go off what you were saying, there are frustrating moments. Am I happy by the way Baez has been playing, especially his at-bats? No, of course not. Like, today was a great example. The bases are chucked in the seventh inning, and they got to get those runs home. And just,
okay, so can I? I want to jump in here, and I mentioned this to you, and please do not, like, I don't want this to be a controversial thing here, but I just wanted to point out, because it was something that I harped on throughout the off season. Javi Baez at bat in the inning that you're referring to, where they don't add on the runs, is exactly why I said and you said it's not a good idea to just give him the keys to second base and play him every day. Mm-hmm. He simply is not refined enough at the plate. And we can debate this all we want, right? But that's just the simple fact. Look at the at-bat today when he struck out on a pitch in the dirt and threw his bat into the stands. And this is not a bench Javi Baez conversation. This is not a... I understand exactly what his value is. He is an extremely valuable player, whatever he's hitting, because of just an immense number of intangibles that he's bringing on the field. But the point that we were making through the offseason was perhaps 450 to 500 or so plate appearances is the ideal spot for him, because it's maximizing the matchups and the pitching that he can face. And again, this is not a knock on Javi Baez, and I fully expect that he'll continue to develop and become a better player. But second and third, no outs. First pitch ground ball to the left side. If we're going to say that things like Wilson Contreras, you know, missing the plate today are unacceptable, or who, I'm not really sure who we're blaming that, where Hayward, you know, overthrew Rizzo, but then Contreras couldn't handle it, and then Rondon wasn't really blocking.
It's just sloppy.
Kind of on everybody, right? Yeah. If we're gonna draw, you know, issue on those, you gotta look at plate appearances like that Javi at bat. That's a bad at bat. You can go to high school baseball. It's situational hitting. You have to get the ball out of the infield, or at least to the right side. And it just, on the first pitch, it's a garbage at bat.
We just have to ask yourself the question, like, what are you looking at there? Like, to, you know, he's swinging at that first pitch,
right?
And it's it's bad at bat.
Yeah. And so, just again, trust me, I love Javi. I brought a tambourine to Dodger Stadium.
This is true.
Sitting in a section full of Puerto Rican fans cheer him on against the United States of America. So don't anybody dare tell me that I'm against Javi Baez. But I'm just pointing out, you know, these are things that they're going to have to look at and make the adjustments with. And I only wanted to point it out because I know that there was such a call for him to play every day. But, you know, when Madden makes these decisions, like, these are parts of the reasons. Like, he reverts back to what we saw today, just a really, really swing happy, you know, undisciplined hitter. And it's not the end of the world. And again, he's shown a lot of ability to adjust that. And I fully believe that he will, but you know, it's just, I just wanted to point it out because it did make me pretty mad. It was a bad at bat in a situational spot. And just to clarify, I'm not only calling him out. The Cubs as a whole have not been very good in these situational spots.
No.
to start this year. You know, but I just wanted to illustrate that because I know it was, you know, just something that we talked about throughout the year.
Well, and Joe Maddon said before today's game that he's curious to see how the Central plays out in the next 2 to 3 weeks. And so while everyone's playing extremely hard right now, he described it as an adrenaline rush. I don't know if you read this, but he's saying after 3-4 weeks, once the season starts to progress along, the adrenaline starts to wear off and the guys who are supposed to be good tend to stay good, which is, I think, very true. I mean, and just to go off that point too, like, for the first time now in the year, the Cubs can play baseball consistently without having that emotional burst before each game. No more banner raising ceremonies, no more ring ceremonies, no more opening night ceremonies. All that, for the most part, is gone, right? So now they can focus. Maybe that situational hitting becomes a little bit more there for this team. And if they continue to hit this way, in the majority of their at-bats, when I say this way, I mean taking bad pitches and hitting good pitches, which, how I just described, is actually going on with most of this team, they're going to be absolutely fine. And it's crazy. And to go back to this Baez thing, I forgot about this. This was yesterday, actually. Someone suggested that Baez should be sent to AAA to work on his approach and then give Ian Happ most of the time a second base. Like, these are the stuff that I'm seeing. I just, you think one title would kind of calm people down. I guess not.
Right.
Ugh. And it's even a week.
Well, and just to address that, Javi needs to adjust at the major league level. Sending him down to AAA won't do anything. Having him see worse pitching doesn't help anybody. He needs to adjust, and like he did throughout last year, you know, yeah. Like that's how you do it. He can already do so much at the major league level that sending him down is just sort of nuts. It just doesn't, you know, that's just not going to accomplish anything. And
Go ahead. No. I was going to say, I refuse to even talk about Javi Baez playing in AAA. Like, I don't even want to continue
this. I just wanted to explain at the very least that that's not a good idea.
But the way the season is going.
You know what? I just wanted to say on Hap, like, we'll see on that. I mean, he was sort of forcing their hand, it seemed like, through most of spring training, and he doesn't seem intent on stopping that. So, you know, I'm not really sure what they plan to do, but I still, even as this season's playing out, I mean, it's sort of the opposite. There's really just nowhere for him to play.
Yeah. Well, there's been the assumption that Hap is going to force the front office to eventually either trade him or call him up relatively soon. And maybe that's true, but at the same time, Theo, Jed, and Jason, for the most part, they stick to their guns. Bryant hit 42 homers in 1 year. They sent him to AAA before the season started, and then they called him up. Rizzo, when they acquired him, Rizzo was tearing the cover off the ball, and this front office stuck with Brian Lehair at first base. And for the most part, unless the major league team absolutely needs it, unless it makes sense, Hap is not going to be up at the club. And the way that it's looking right now, unless there's an injury, and Ken Rosenthal even said this today, I don't see him being able to develop and progress at an appropriate pace for him to be a real impact for this team, even this year or next year. And Ken Rosenthal said today, maybe the Cubs actually will trade Hap for pitching, which is the first time that I think a source of that magnitude has even suggested that this year. Mm-hmm. So that will be interesting. And the whole Hap scenario kind of reminds me of, in a way, Soler's scenario, a guy who destroyed the minor leagues, has all this talent, but when you put him with the current Cubs group, it's hard to find consistent playing time, and you may, as a consequence, slow his development. And that's what we saw with Soler, with the injuries and inconsistent playing time. Now Soler is approaching 26. He's with Kansas City, and now we have Wade Davis. Like, sometimes it's for the player's benefit to stay in AAA as long as possible, get consistent playing time, and then you make a decision when it's appropriate for the big league club. And the way I see it now, Corey, I think it has to be for pitching.
That would be the assumption. I agree with you on that. There's just really no, like, good road for him here. So I don't know. I don't know. You know, they're not a front. They're not going to do it just because they don't have something to do with him right now. You know, if it's not the right package or whatever, I'm not really sure what they're ideal asking prices. But you know, you have to imagine you put him with somebody else. You know, if you put Ian Happ and Jaime Candelario together, that's a pretty nice package for somebody. I don't know what that would net you.
Yeah. But I don't know if they would even put those two in the same package, but
well, I mean, yeah. I was, you know, picking someone of you know, kind of in a similar spot where there's just not really a good spot for him right now.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, you know, look, yeah, here we are. Definitely the first freak out. Twitter a little nuts today. I don't know if that's because it was a holiday weekend or what, but certainly
not shocking.
Not the takes that I was necessarily expecting to read. But, you know, I think you did a good job going through everybody. I think, you know, Rizzo, Bryant, like, I don't really care to worry about at all. Yeah. I think Addy's look great.
He looks great.
You know, Ben Zobrist, it's not there, but again, like, the guy puts up literally the same numbers all the time for, at this point, probably bordering on like a decade. Yeah. So
and last year too, like, he started off extremely slow in April with Hayward. They had the same start last year. Then once May came along, he was one of the league's best hitters for about a 6-week stretch.
Yeah, he had that red hot stretch where, you know, and he had that great series against the Nationals. So, you know, I wouldn't worry about that. You know, Hayward getting better results, but I don't really think looks all that much better. So, you know, and really we're getting some better struck balls, but I if I was just guessing, it's a pretty similar batted ball profile.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of those kind of weak flies, rollovers to the right side. But, you know, that is what it is. We'll just have to see how that goes. I think Schwarber's looked great in the leadoff spot. You know, we've mentioned before that he was at the top, probably at least still near the top, if not at the top, in terms of seeing pitches. He's getting on base. He's slugging. No issue there. I mentioned to you I'd like to see Almora play a little more. I know that sometimes the matchups don't line up for it, and I, you know, definitely don't want him in matchups that aren't going to be good for him, but I would like to see him a little more. And, you know, again, like, Baez is, you know, kind of where I think we expected him to be, where he, you know, he still has to make some adjustments at the plate, especially against right-handed pitching. And, you know, on a day like today, they want him out there to play defense for John Lester, and they get the result on that end, you know, for sure. They, you know, John Lester was in full run prevention mode today, and they did a very good job of that.
He pitched great today, by the way. That's one thing we didn't really talk about, but man, he looked fantastic.
That's implicit on the Cubs, really. You know, and we'll just see. He's just going to have to make those adjustments. You know, again, Javi's a very young player. I know he vaulted to the level of mainstream superstar last year and in the World Baseball Classic, but he's still a very young guy, and he's still got some adjustments to make. And if he does, he's going to be an incredibly valuable player, even more so than he is now. So, yeah. You know, not something that I'm necessarily worried about, but just something to keep an eye on. The one situation that I think was monitoring at least a little bit coming into the year and as the year started, but I think especially maybe after today, is with Wilson. And, you know, again, he's very young and a guy who kind of rocketed to where he is right now. And, you know, I just want to see him. And I think Joe Maddon has mentioned this before in regard to Baez, just slowing down a little bit, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. just taking some things a little easier. And I know him and Javi are very similar in that they are trying to make, they will die to make a play. Yeah. And I love that about them. But sometimes it's, you know, it's just not the thing. We talked about this the other day with the bunt that Wilson fielded.
Yeah.
Which game was that? I don't even remember which game that was. That Dodger game? Was that the Dodger game that they lose?
Are you talking about the insurance? The drop third strike where you threw it at the bag, that one?
Yes. So, the drop third strike.
Yeah.
So, you know, we talked about that the other day where he rushed a throw and he didn't have to, and it, you know, gave the Dodgers an insurance run. You know, again, today, pulling the foot off the bag, like, you know, I'm not gonna crucify anybody for that. That being said, it's not something that can happen.
Yeah.
You know, and then that throw from Hayward, you could throw all sorts of blame on that play. I'm not really sure where you want to throw that. But, you know, I just some stuff going on the field that we need to not see anymore. Yeah. That's kind of the moral of the point. And I'm not pinning all that on Wilson, but I just think in general, you know, this is his staff. You know, Miggy can't play that often. He had back problems last year. Doesn't hold runners very well, although I expect he'll be, you know, maybe a little better throughout this year because hopefully he's not dealing with the lingering back problem as much, or at least it's not as fresh as it was last year. But, you know, this is Willie's staff, and he's going to be the anchor of this team. There's no David Ross to come in and be the veteran to slow everything down and, you know, kind of give you a you know, old school veteran catcher where you know exactly what they're going to go out there and do. And, you know, so I just meant all that to say that it's just something I'm watching. You know, it's just something that it's going to be, I think, fun to watch him develop. I think he's very much to the task. But just some stuff there that, you know, just would like to see it calm down a little bit. You know, we don't, and again, you know, you get the good just as much as you got any of the bad today, where he, you know, picked off a guy, he threw a guy out on the strike him out, throw him out double play. So, you know, again, much like with my thoughts on Baez, this is not a knock on them at all, but you know, as we go forward, like we can't, I guess it's just to say, the freak out, I think, is nuts. But we do also, you know, this is a new season. We do have to get over the kind of honeymoon phase with everybody. Like, we're going to have to critique these guys sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not to, you know, diminish their entire value. But, you know, we're going to have to nitpick things every now and again, well, especially when the team is 500. You know, that's just the reality of the situation.
These issues, too, are very easily changed. Again, I would be worrying if Schwarber came back without seeing baseball, consistent baseball for a year, he was swinging at garbage or whiffing at like a 50% rate, and he's doing the complete opposite. And Baez, it is what it is. He goes through these streaks, and we're getting a glimpse of some reality at times. And for the most part, if we're complaining about Hayward overthrowing Rizzo and everyone else and Rondon not backing up whoever and, you know, Contreras throwing at the bag, like, those are very amenable issues. The issues that are not easily changeable, again, are someone who broke a finger and he's out for 6 weeks. Like, that would piss me off. Like, that would actually irritate me a lot. So, just going forward, just enjoy it, number one, but at the same time, just I guess, and for the most part, I'm sure our listeners aren't, you know, freaking out like some
I would hope that Twitter. We've conditioned y'all to be better than that.
if you are freaking out a little bit, hopefully this helped, especially some of the stats that I read off. And so we have Milwaukee coming up, and we'll have Lackey going tomorrow night, who's going to face Chase Anderson. And then we have Brett Anderson the following night against Jamie Nelson. And then to finish that up, we have Hendricks going against Tommy Malone, who the Cubs saw last week. So a good opportunity for the offense to really get going, considering that they did face Malone and Nelson last week, like I just said. So you could see the offense finally start to pick it up. They're going to be playing a night game tomorrow, so they're going to have a little bit more rest going into tomorrow's night's game. And again, no more ceremonies, nothing like that. So I wouldn't be surprised whatsoever for this team to go out and honestly take this series and sweep the Brewers. Are you going to the series, Corey? You said the entire homestand, right?
Yes.
Okay. So anything that you're looking for tomorrow?
No, just, you know, turn it around. It's a bad series over the weekend, and you got a new team coming in. I think, they saw Nelson in Milwaukee as well.
Yeah. I should have mentioned that.
Yeah, so, you know, two guys that you've already seen. Brett Anderson was real good against Milwaukee the first time. And, you know, I thought Hendricks was pretty good. He just left a couple balls up and they, you know, they jumped on him. So hopefully he can adjust that. But yeah, I mean, just, you know, flip the script, just come out. This is a team that you know, kind of usually beat up on and kind of need to beat up on, to win this division or to, you know, really kind of lengthen any lead in the division. And, yeah, just start fresh, you know, just don't worry about it. It's one series. They won the first three, you know, so they're 3-1 in terms of these series so far, which is, you know, a fine place to be. You never like to get swept. You never like to get swept at home. And, you know, certainly not by the Pirates. Not to say they're a bad team, but, you know, I don't know that that's a team I'm, like, thrilled to get swept by.
Right. And it's a consolation. The Cardinals are off to a very bad start. So
yeah, the Cardinals are 3-9, folks.
Imagine us being in that situation.
Well, I'm going to, because I thought of it, but I was going to say, maybe steer clear of the replies to any Dexter Fowler tweets. I'm sure those are great.
But
flip the script, new team coming in, and, again, this is a new season, it's fluid, there's always going to be stuff to scrutinize and to analyze and to critique, and I think that's fine, and there's always room for an open dialogue on those things, but, freaking out or trying to draw any real conclusions from three games in April, just not mine or your style. And I wouldn't recommend it, because it just is too long of a season. There's just too much that goes on. And again, we're talking looking at three games and freaking out, when there's 150 left. Yeah. So I just wouldn't do it. I think they'll be fine. I think they'll get on a run here. And, hopefully Milwaukee is the catalyst to do that.
Yes, they're going to hit. And when they do, we'll be right here to talk to you guys after this series. And until then, we will talk to you guys soon.